We'll allow the children to be dismissed to junior church and to toddler church this morning. Revelation chapter 15, we'll begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over the, and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses." Remember last week, Deuteronomy 32, although I don't believe this is speaking of Deuteronomy 32, I believe this is speaking of Exodus 15, after they came through the Red Sea. The Bible says, "And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." And I want to bring you a message this morning. If you have the bulletin, you have the message outline on the back, but I want to bring you a message entitled, "How Great Thou Art." How great thou art. I pray this week, as we spoke about last Sunday, I pray that you have gone to bed and woke up with a song on your heart and a song on your lips. And if you haven't, then I pray that you be encouraged again today as we look at Revelation chapter number 15, because we have the greatest of all subject matters of which to sing about, of whom to sing about, and that is our great God. And we're going to look here in Revelation 15 and see that today. And I pray the Lord will stir our hearts. Father, we sure do love you. We're thankful for the opportunity to be able to be here again today. Father, just teach us. Just help us. I do pray as we pray every Sunday. Father, if there would be one in our midst that has never been born again, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. Father, I pray for believers who need encouragement, who need reviving this morning, who need to be challenged and charged a little bit today. I pray that whatever needs are present in our midst, that your word would meet every single need today. Father, I pray your Holy Spirit would have free movement, would have liberty to move in and amongst these pews today. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would convict and help and encourage today. Father, we love you. We ask that you do a work in our hearts and lives today. And we pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated this morning. As we begin chapter number 15, and really chapter 15 is kind of a buffer, a last buffer, if you will, before chapter 16, but the world has already experienced two waves of judgment here in the book of Revelation. This world, during the Great Tribulation, will have already experienced the seal judgments and the trumpet judgments. The seal judgments in Revelation 6. By the way, if you'll turn back there for just a minute, I do want to read just a little bit. Revelation chapter number 6, we have the seal judgments. In Revelation chapter number 8, you have the seventh seal judgment out of which the trumpet judgments come. And chapter 8 and chapter number 9, and then chapter number 11 give us the seven trumpet judgments. In chapter number 6, and I'll just read verse number 12, verses 1 through 2 talk about the first seal. It talks about the white horse, and then we have the second seal. We have, he says, "When I had opened the second seal," verse 3, "I heard the second beast say, Come and see, and there was, went out another horse that was red." And then beginning in verse 5, we have the black horse, the third seal, which speaks about famine. And then we have the fourth seal beginning in verse 7, which speaks about death. We have the pale horse there. Verses 9 through 11, we have the martyred remnant with the fifth seal. And then the sixth seal in verse number 12, he says, "And I beheld, and when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs. when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. You ever wonder, I wonder sometimes, you ever wonder what the newscasts are going to be like during this time? You think about the round-the-clock 24-hour news media that we have right now, and just think about, I can't even imagine, you know, the newscast when all of these things are going to be happening. The Bible says that, verse 15, and kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men, we read verse 15, verse 16, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Great question. Look at chapter number 8, verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire, with fire of the altar, and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Verse 7, we have the first trumpet. First angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters, and the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe. You see, you've had the first four trumpets and then these final three trumpets. They're still the trumpet judgments, but they're also what we call the woe judgments. The angel says, woe, woe, woe. And he's not saying woe to stop. He's saying woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. And for sake of time, we're not going to read all of that. But my point is simply to say this: the earth has already experienced the seal judgments and the trumpet judgments, and now they stand upon the threshold of what the Bible calls the vial judgments. The Bible says the last seven plagues. The Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 15, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. Here we see the seven angels who have the last seven plagues. We see the martyred saints giving praise to God, but most importantly, we see our great God. How great thou art. You see, when you read a passage, we always have to ask ourselves, what does this passage say about God? We see the angels, we see the plagues, we see the martyred saints that are standing on this sea of glass and they're praising God, but what does this say about God in verses 3 and 4? It speaks about our great God. By the way, God is absolutely justified in the wrath that He will bring upon this earth and upon its wicked inhabitants. These plagues will express God's judgment against sin. It will be the judgment against the Antichrist for his murderous ways. It will be the judgment against the sinners who worship the Antichrist. It will be the judgment against the world empires that refuse to bow and submit to Almighty God. And it will simply be the natural reaping of that which has been sown. And I'd like to continue our thought from a little bit from last Sunday morning's message as we considered Deuteronomy chapter 32 and we preached to put it in their mouths. As God gave Moses this song, He said, put it in their mouths, teach Israel this song. And I want us to look at verse number 3 at these two songs, the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Again, I believe that that's a reference to Exodus 15, the song of Moses, the servant of God. And then the song of the Lamb, I believe, is a reference to Revelations chapter 4 and 5. And we'll look at those this morning. In Exodus 15, the song is sung at the Red Sea. In Revelation 15, the song is sung at the Glass Sea. In Exodus 15, the song is a song of triumph over Egypt. In Revelation 15, the song is a song of triumph over Babylon. In Exodus 15, the song is sung by the redeemed. In Revelation 15, the song is sung by the raptured. Exodus 15 sings of the greatness of God. And Revelation 15 sings of the greatness of God. And that's what we want to look at this morning. What were they singing about? Let me give you three truths that we find in this chapter and really three subject matters, if you will, that they were singing about. And by the way, they're all about God. They're all about our great God. And number one this morning, I want us to see, first of all, that they sing of God's redemptive work. What were they singing about here in Revelation chapter 15? By the way, what are they singing about in Exodus 15 when they come through the Red Sea? Well, first of all, this morning, they sing of God's redemptive work. And by the way, isn't that what we sing about just about every Sunday, or at least it should be? When we stand to sing, we're singing to God. We're singing about what He's done and who He is. But we're singing about His redemptive work, what He's done on the cross of Calvary, the blood that He has shed. The Bible says in verse number 2 of Revelation 15, and I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire. There's a lot of discussion about that sea of glass and what it represents. The sea often speaks of turmoil. It speaks of destruction, especially when you think about the waves in the sea. And in Revelation, many times the word sea is speaking about the destruction and turmoil that is happening and that is going to happen. But here in Revelation 15, 2, notice it's a sea of glass. It speaks of perfect peace. There are no waves. It's as if the sea is glass. You've seen water like that before, haven't you? You may have even made that statement. It's like a sheet of glass. So calm, so peaceful. I personally believe that the sea of glass is a representation of the Word of God. The Bible says that these martyred saints here in verse number 2, you say, Pastor, how do you know they're martyred saints? Well, the Bible says here, it says, them that had gotten the victory over the beast. Who's going to get the victory over the beast? Only the martyrs. Those that had gotten victory over the beast and over His image and over His mark and over the number of His name. Notice this, stand on the sea of glass. I believe he's speaking about the Word of God there. And the Bible says, having the harps of God, they sing of God's redemptive work. How does God redeem? First of all, this morning, He redeems by His victorious strength. He redeems by His victorious strength. And then secondly, He redeems through His vicarious sacrifice. I appreciated the song that Brother Steve sang because it had that word in it, vicarious. Vicarious just means substitute. It means that He has stood in our place. That means that He went to the cross of Calvary and hung there on that cross in my place and in your place and in everyone's place that is represented here this morning. He took my sin vicariously as my substitute. And they sing. These saints here in Revelation 15, what do they sing about? They sing of God's redemptive work. And listen, I get it sometimes, and I understand sometimes when we make this statement, well, I can't sing and I don't have a good voice, but my friend, and I know we've said this many, many times, and I'm not trying to harp on this, but dear friend, if you've been saved by the blood of Christ, you ought to have a desire to sing about that. whether you have a great voice or not. God may have not given you a great voice, may not have given you that talent. But listen, we can still raise our voices in song because of what He's done for us. His redemptive work. Hey, by the way, right now you're practicing. Because you're going to be singing up there, I guarantee it. You say, Pastor, I know, but I'm going to have a glorified body and a glorified voice then. Probably so. We'll probably all have angelic voices, at least. I hope so, don't you? I hope I have an angelic voice then to be able to sing. But listen now. Think about what He's done for us. Think about the sacrifice that He suffered on the cross. The blood that He shed. He redeems by His victorious strength. He redeems through His vicarious sacrifice. Take your Bibles, if you would. Hold your place here in Revelation 15. We'll be back here in just a moment. Would you go to Exodus 15, very front of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus. Exodus chapter number 15, they sing of God's redemptive work. By the way, that's exactly what the nation of Israel is singing about in Exodus chapter 15. God has redeemed them out of Egypt. He has redeemed them out of bondage, out of slavery in Egypt. And they're singing about that. They're praising God about that. Now, they're just like we are. It wasn't very long. They forgot about that. And they're falling away into sin again. We do the same thing. By the way, as we said last week, that's why we need to sing. That's why we need to put it in our mouths. So that we'll do what? So that we'll do what? Remember. Remember. Deuteronomy 32 is a song of remembrance. Exodus 15 is a song of redemption. Deuteronomy 32 was Moses' song of remembrance. And if I have other things on my mind, other music, besides the music of God, then I'm not going to remember. Exodus 15, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously." What is that? That's His strength. That's His victorious strength. "He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war." Wow, you don't hear that today, do you? That's sure what the Bible says. "The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath He cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of Thine excellency, Thou hast overthrown them that rose up against Thee. Thou sentest forth Thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of Thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea." By the way, if you read in the book of Psalms, I believe it's Psalm 77, in the book of Psalms, look, when the nation of Israel came to the Red Sea, they looked at the Red Sea and they were troubled, weren't they? Because behind them were the Egyptians, beside them were the mountains, in front of them was the Red Sea. They were troubled. But you know what Psalm 77 says? Psalm 77 says, "The waters looked at God and they were troubled." They looked at God and they were troubled. Listen, dear friend, many times we'll look at a problem and a circumstance and we'll get troubled. But you know what? That circumstance looks at God and gets troubled if we'll have a little faith. The enemy said, "I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with Thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto Thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like Thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. Thou stretchest out thy right hand, and the earth swallowed them. Thou, in thy mercy, hast led forth thy people, or excuse me, the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. What do they sing about in Revelation 15? What are they singing about in Exodus 15? They sing of God's redemptive work. He redeems by His victorious strength. He redeems through His vicarious sacrifice. By the way, in Revelation 15, the Antichrist thought he had defeated these individuals, but he didn't realize he was just making a swifter path to their victory when he martyred them. You know, many times we pray to get out of a situation, and sometimes it may be that God's saying, you know what, I've got a better situation for you. These martyr saints in Revelation 15, their better situation was, hey, let's leave this old wicked world and the tribulation that we're going through, and we're headed to heaven. We're headed to be with our God. They sing of God's redemptive work. Number two this morning, they sing of God's redemptive work, but secondly, they sing, actually, you know what, real quickly before we move on, I don't want to skip this. Would you look at Revelation 5? Revelation chapter number 5. He redeems by His victorious strength, but He redeems through His vicarious sacrifice. He redeems through His blood. Notice Revelation chapter number 5. And Revelation 4 and 5, I believe, is the song of the Lamb that is referenced in Revelation 15, verse number 3. Look at verse number 9, if you would. Revelation 5 and verse number 9. The Bible says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy," what's the word? Blood. He's redeemed us by His blood. He's bought us out of the slave market of sin. He's redeemed us by His blood. And these saints here, they're singing about that. The Bible says, out of every kindred and every tongue and people and nation, You've redeemed us. And they're singing about that. And that ought to be what we sing about. His redemptive work. Number two this morning, they sing of God's redemptive work. Secondly, they sing of God's righteous wrath. They sing of God's redemptive work. Secondly, they sing of God's righteous wrath. Many people wonder why so much pain and suffering exists in our world, especially if there really is a God. Listen, here's the simple answer. Pain and suffering exist because of sin. Because of sin. And the Bible tells us in Revelation 15 that the wrath of God is going to be filled up in these last seven plagues, these vile judgments. Be assured of this morning, that every sin will be paid for. You agree with that this morning? Every sin will be paid for. But here's the dividing line. It will either be borne and pardoned by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, or it will be borne by ourselves when we bear our sin and our punishment in the lake of fire. But one way or the other, it'll all be paid for. Here's the truth. It was paid for at the cross. It was paid for at the cross. But the individual that never applies that payment to their lives, they will pay for it. They will pay for their penalty, the punishment of separation from God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Separation from God forever in the lake of fire. That's our wages. That's what we deserve. And we see in verse number 2, they not only sing of His redemptive work, but they sing of His righteous wrath. Would you take your Bibles and look back at Revelation 6 real quickly? We didn't read this just a moment ago. This is the fifth seal. Revelation chapter 6, verse number 9. The Bible says, "And when He had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the Word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. You know who I believe we're finding in Revelation 15? These very individuals in Revelation 6. How long, O Lord? How long before you bring judgment? You ever wonder that yourself? I see some of these individuals, or at least I hear some of these individuals who blaspheme our God today, and who make fun of our God, and who say, we don't need a God, and there's not a God, and that God can't do anything for me. And I hear some of the blasphemous words that are said by our politicians and entertainers about our God, and I wonder, God, how long? Here's the truth. It may not be in our time frame, but His righteous wrath will come in His time. The martyred saints in Revelation 6 are crying out, God, how long before You judge? How long before You judge these upon the earth that have taken our lives? How long? And God says, John says in Revelation 6, that they should rest yet for a little season. See, there were still more that would be martyred. There were going to be more that would die for Christ, that will die for Christ in the tribulation time. And He said, there's a season of rest for them. They sing of God's righteous wrath. Let me ask you this morning, friend. Have you partaken of that payment that's already been made? That payment that was made on the cross of Calvary, that shed blood, as we read in Revelation 5:9, that redeems us? Have you partaken of that? Because either Christ will bear my sin for me, or I'll have to bear my sin myself. He bore it on the cross, and all I have to do is by simple faith and repentance take Him as my Savior, or I will bear my sin in my own body. Number one, they sing of God's redemptive work. They sing of God's righteous wrath. We see two things here in Revelation 15 about His wrath. We see, first of all, the faithfulness of His wrath, and secondly, we see the fullness of His wrath. We see the faithfulness of His wrath. We see the fullness of His wrath. The Bible says in verse number 3 of chapter 15, it says, just and true are Thy ways, Thou King of saints. Verse number 6, the Bible says, and the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure white and linen. Take your Bibles and go over just a couple pages, if you will, to chapter 19. We see the faithfulness of His wrath. He is just in His wrath. Why? Because He's perfect, He's righteous, He's true. He's perfect. He's just in everything. The Bible says in Revelation chapter number 19, and we'll begin reading in verse number 8. The Bible says, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Notice this, for the fine linen is what? The righteousness of saints. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Verse number 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called, what's the word there? Faithful and true. Faithful and true. The faithfulness of His wrath. Some people get a little, boy, they get a little leery about talking about the wrath of God. But listen, friend, He's just, He's true, He's faithful, He's true. He's righteous in His judgments. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Verse 14, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. We see the faithfulness of His righteous wrath. Secondly, we see the fullness of His righteous wrath. You don't have to turn back there this morning. We just read just a moment ago, but in Exodus chapter number 15, we read just a second ago, the Bible speaks there in verse number 7. It says, in the greatness of thine excellency. Thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. It consumed them as stubble. We see the fullness of His righteous wrath. Revelation 15 in verse number 1. It speaks of the seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them is filled up the wrath of God. We've already had the seal. We've already had the trumpet. And God's getting ready to finish His wrath. It's going to be filled up in these seven vials, which we see in chapter 16. That's not our message this morning, but we find the seven vial judgments in chapter number 16. His wrath is going to be filled up. It's going to be completed. It's going to be finished in these last seven plagues. Isn't it interesting when it says in verse 3, the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb? In Egypt, we had the ten what? We had the ten plagues. And in Revelation 15, he says, I'm getting ready to finish this with the seven last plagues, the seven vile judgments, and it's all going to be finished, the fullness. Look at verse number 4 of Revelation 15. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. This is the holy of holies in heaven. This is what he's speaking of here. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And I want you to notice verse 8. Don't miss verse 8. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. We understand what that is saying right there? When God is getting ready to finish His judgments and His wrath is going to be filled up with these seven vials, the Bible says no one can enter the Holy of Holies until it's finished. You know what? There is no intercession. There's no more long-suffering. There is no appeal for mercy in the Holy of Holies until His wrath is finished. That's pretty serious, isn't it? The Bible tells us in Hebrews 4 that we can go directly to the throne of grace, doesn't it? But in the great tribulation time, at this very moment, when these seven angels step out of that temple, when they step out of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven, the Holy of Holies, and God has given them the seven vials full of the wrath of God. Or actually, the Bible says one of the four beasts, gives unto them the seven vials full of the wrath of God. The Bible says in verse 8 that no man will enter the Holy of Holies. No priest can go in and sprinkle blood on the mercy seat anymore until it's finished. By the way, there's no need to sprinkle blood on the mercy seat because they've already sprinkled the blood of Christ on there. But there's no priest, there's no man, there's no one, the Bible says, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Dear friend, this isn't necessarily our message this morning, but dear friend, that's going to be a horrific time. A time that our finite minds cannot even comprehend. The seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, and those are, honestly, those are going to be like a birthday party compared to the seven vials. There ought to be no one that we want to have to go through that 7 years of tribulation. This is real. This is going to happen. And I believe it's going to happen sooner rather than later. And if we've got loved ones and if we've got friends that have never been saved, if they're not saved when Christ comes in the clouds, they're going to go through this. Horrific time. My mind can't even comprehend all of this. Because my eyes have never seen this. Your eyes have never seen what's going to happen during the seal judgments. Your eyes, my eyes have never seen what's going to happen during the trumpet judgments. Your eyes, my eyes have never seen what's going to happen during the vile judgments. Some people call them the bowl judgments because the wrath of God is spilling over out of those bowls. They sing of God's righteous wrath. They sing of God's redemptive work. And then thirdly, this morning, they sing of God's royal worthship. You say, Pastor, it ought to be worship. Yeah. The old English word is worthship, because He's worthy to be worshipped. Pastor, why do you say royal? Look what the Bible says in verse number 3. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are Thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are Thy ways, Thou King of saints. He's our King this morning. He's our Savior. He's our Father. He's every word that we could imagine, every good word that we could imagine. But He's our King. He's our Lord. What do they sing of? What are these martyred saints singing about? They're singing of His redemptive work. And by the way, we haven't been martyred yet, have we? No. Might be a day when that happens. But listen, dear friend, God gives us time right now. We ought to be singing of His redemptive works. We ought to be singing about Him. We ought to be praising Him. We ought to be considering Him on a daily basis. They sing of God's redemptive work. They've gotten victory over the beast in verse number 2. They've gotten victory over His image. And by the way, how did they get that victory? They overcame through what? The blood of the Lamb. They overcame through the blood of the Lamb and over His image and over His mark. They didn't overcome by their good works. They didn't overcome the Antichrist by their what they did and how much they went to church. They didn't overcome by their baptism. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. The same as we do today. They sing of God's redemptive work. But I wonder, I wonder if our minds aren't so filled with the world's music that when we come in here on Sunday morning, we're not ready to sing. We're not ready. As I mentioned last Sunday, we compartmentalize and we think Monday through Saturday, well, that's whatever music I want to listen to. And then we come in on Sunday and we're not ready to sing to God because we haven't been singing to Him all week. We haven't been considering and meditating on Him all week. We've been meditating on the world. We've been meditating on the flesh. And boy, by the time the song service is over, we're just getting ready to sing. They sing of God's redemptive work. They sing of God's righteous wrath. He's faithful, and He's going to finish it, the fullness of His wrath. And then thirdly, they sing of God's royal worthship. First of all, His names and His nature demand our worship. His names and His nature demand our worship. In verse 3 again, it says, just and true, Thou King, Lord God Almighty, His names and His nature demand our worship. Just who He is. Verse 3, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, this is His nature right here. What is His nature? What's the word there? Great. What's the next word? Marvelous. That's His nature. Great. Marvelous are Thy works. And then you have one of His names, Lord God Almighty. Just and true. Again, that's not only His names, but that's His nature. Just and true. Thou King of saints. His names and His nature demand our worship. And then letter B, our stand and our song declare our worship. His names and His nature demand our worship. maybe a better word I should have put in there, deserves our worship. His names and His nature deserve our worship. Does it not? You agree with me on that this morning? His names, His nature, who He is, what He does, that deserves our worship. But our stand and our song declare our worship. These individuals in verse 2, they stood until what? Death. They stood until death. They stood on the sea of glass and whatever that may represent. Again, I believe it represents the Word of God. But they stood with the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, friend, unlike right now for us, now, for people in China, it's a little bit different right now. But for us, when we stand for God, we don't have to worry about death, do we, in America right now? I don't think so. Not yet. Maybe soon. I don't know. But there are people in China. There are people in Russia. There are people in other parts of the world. People in Sri Lanka. People in Laos, where Brother Tongdi is, Southeast Asia. Death may come if they stand for God. Our stand and our song declare our worship. We can say, look, we can say we're going to worship God and we can sing, but where the rubber meets the road is when we stand or we don't stand. That's the true part of our worship. What is the greatest form of worship? Obedience. Our stand and our song declare our worship. And these individuals in Revelation 15 declared both. They stood until death, and they sang. They sang the song of Moses. They sang the song of the Lamb. Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 5. By the way, would you go there real quick, and we're done. We're done this morning. Would you go to Revelation 4 and 5? Would you look at Revelation 4 and verse number 8? And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. We've said this before. Look, it doesn't say love, love, love. It says holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And by the way, because He's thrice holy, it makes His love even better, doesn't it? Verse number 9, and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, His royal worship. He is worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Again, verse number 8 of chapter 5, excuse me. And when He had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. By the way, I don't know this. I don't know that I can prove it. But are those seven vials in chapter 15... the same vials that are spoken of here? The prayers of the saints? How long, God, before You judge? I don't know that. I don't know that I could actually prove that. But having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book. All I mean by that is simply it matters what we pray for. It matters for what we pray. And they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals there, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. His royal worship. That's what they sing about. They sing about His redemptive works. They sing about His righteous wrath. And they sing about His royal worship. Listen, friend, He's worthy. We know that this morning, don't we? You know that. But our stand and our song, those are what prove it. I know it. I know He's worthy to be praised. I know He's worthy to be worshiped. But my stand and my song will declare whether I think He's worthy or not. Hey, even if you can't sing, declare His worship with your mouth. Declare your worship with His mouth, with your mouth. Pastor, I have a terrible voice. It's okay. The person next to you probably has a terrible voice too. Join in tandem a duo of bad voices, singing melody to God in your hearts. Sing. Because listen, friend, we have much to sing about. And we have a great subject of whom to sing about. Amen? Father, we love You today. Father, I pray that You'd help us. Father, I probably did not tell these dear folks anything they did not already know this morning. But Father, the crux of everything we said is wrapped up in whether we're going to stand and whether we're going to sing. Because we have truth to stand for and we have truth to sing about. And God, I pray that a song would be on our lips, and I pray that a song would be in our actions as we prove what we say we believe, and we obey, and we worship by our stand, by what we do, not just what we say we're going to do, by what we actually do. God, I pray that You'd help. If there's someone here not saved, God, please, I pray that they've seen this morning, Lord, the tribulation is not a time they want to go through. Father, I pray for a believer this morning who maybe needs to get some things right with You. Maybe there's a believer who has a family member, a friend, who they just need to go home and call this afternoon because they don't want them to go through this time. Lord, I don't know, but I pray that You'd move during this time. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Let's do this. Brother Steve, would you come? Let's take our hymnals and let's turn to 365. And we're going to sing maybe just two verses, maybe first.